The case of Jose Padilla has been making its way through the federal court system since his arrest last June. He's suspected of being an Al-Qaeda terrorist and planning to build a dirty bomb. He has yet to meet with lawyers arguing his case, though he's been in detention for the better part of a year. And that's too long, argues commentator David Cole.
Call me old-fashioned, but I'd always considered two principles pretty fundamental to the American system of justice. That you have a right to a lawyer when the government locks you up, and that the government can't coerce your confession. Yet according to the Bush administration, neither right applies if the president declares you an enemy combatant. In a New York court, the government is arguing that enemy combatants must be denied any access to a lawyer, precisely because such access would interfere with the government's ability to coerce confessions. Jose Padilla has been charged with no crime. Instead, he's been held for 11 months as an enemy combatant, incommunicado, without access to a lawyer, and without any hearing or trial. Late last year, a federal court ordered that Padilla be allowed to talk to the lawyer who has been challenging his detention in court. But the government asked the judge to reconsider. It argued that letting Padilla talk to a lawyer would interfere with what it calls the relationship of trust and dependency that it has developed over 11 months of incommunicado interrogation. If the interrogation is to succeed, the government maintains, Padilla must be convinced that there is no hope. Letting him talk to a lawyer might give him hope. In March, the judge rejected the government's argument, but the government has refused to let Padilla talk to a lawyer and has now appealed. The government's position that enemy combatants can't talk to their lawyers has produced absurd results. We've now had a full year of debate and litigation concerning the government's detentions of Padilla and Yasser Hamdi, another American citizen allegedly captured in Afghanistan. But neither Hamdi nor Padilla has been allowed to participate, or even to know that the challenges to their detentions exist. In January, the Fourth Circuit upheld Yasser Hamdi's detention, resting its decision on what it called an undisputed fact, that Hamdi was captured in a zone of active combat in a foreign theater of conflict. But how can that fact be disputed or undisputed when Hamdi's lawyers have not even been allowed to ask him? The government says lawyers will interfere with its ability to extract information by exploiting its relationship of trust and dependency. But the Supreme Court has ruled that any interrogation that obtains information by overriding a suspect's free will is for that reason unconstitutional. Consulting a lawyer would simply assure that any confession obtained is a product of free will rather than coercion. In a perverse version of two wrongs make a right, the government seeks to justify one constitutional violation, the denial of counsel, so that it can commit another violation, coercing a confession. It is true, of course, that the Constitution is not a suicide pact.
But it is not an optional protocol to be thrust aside whenever its principles seem inconvenient.
David Cole is the author of Terrorism and the Constitution, Sacrificing Civil Liberties in the Name of National Security. Tomorrow on this program, another view of the tension between security and civil liberties.